Epilogue. There exist snippets of history etched into the fabric of time and so perfectly formed that they may never be duplicated. Seemingly scripted by a power with perfect timing and blessed with scenes that know no bounds, these moments exist to be captured on film, to be remembered and cherished for centuries to come. These snippets do not happen often. They are as rare as the perfect turn on skis, as delightful as homemade ice cream in the hot sun. They exist to remind man there is hope. They exist to show promise. They exist for generations yet unborn. The Dalai Lama's return to Lhasa was one of these events. April 1, 2005 dawned with clear skies and no wind. The snow-capped mountains surrounding the city appeared to be close enough that one could run his fingertip across the sharp crests. The very air in Lhasa seemed alive with energy. It filled the lungs of the faithful with a hope silent for decades, and soothed and cooled the fires of war. "Unbelievable," a reporter for a Los Angeles newspaper said quietly. It was an image from Shangri-La. Potala Palace was glistening like a mirage in the mind of a complicated man. The hillside surrounding the palace was covered with a flowing field of red and blue blooming flowers that spilled down the hill in a waterfall of color. 1,000 Buddhist monks in yellow robes filled the steps from top to bottom like a colored strip of DNA molecules. On the lower buildings, parts of the green roofs were visible, adding contrast, while the white rocks of the structure seemed to have been scrubbed clean of dirt as a result of the cloak of oppression being lifted. High overhead, a hawk circled lazily on the warming air. The Chosen One was coming home. Nearly a mile away, on the large flat meadow below Potala, a monk stepped over to a 6-foot-tall gong suspended from a dark carved wooden frame. He glanced at the Dalai Lama, who was sitting atop a gold-gilded throne chair. The throne chair was topped with a fringe silk awning, supported by wooden poles at the corners and held aloft by 6 stout monks who walked in unison with the throne chair. The 6 monks chanted a single-word chant, and the wood and leather hammer struck the gong. The sound of the gong filled the air. 1, 2, until it sounded 3 times. And then the procession started forward. The Ngapa, carrying the symbolic wheel of life, led the column. Directly behind the Ngapa were Tibetan horsemen, their steeds decorated with ceremonial blankets whose intricate needlepoint depicted scenes from Tibetan history. The horsemen wove their mounts back and forth in a choreographed display of precision. In their hands were triangular flags attached to long bronze staffs that were capped with fluted tops. To the rear of the horsemen were 2 dozen archers with bows at parade rest against their shoulders. They marched in perfect harmony. Next came a 12 porters carrying cages filled with songbirds that chirped a song of freedom and happiness. The porters were followed by 55 monks from the Dalai Lama's home monastery at Nam Yal. They chanted in a single voice and carried in their hands the sacred texts. Next were more horsemen, 4 dozen in total, who were also musicians. They played their flutes and stringed instruments while they steered their mounts with their knees. The horse-mounted musicians were followed by monks from the Tsedrong order, who represented the government of Tibet, followed by children waving thin, pointed, ornately colored flags that danced through the air like kites without tails. To the rear of the children was another group of horsemen, with serious faces, dressed in Tibetan army uniforms of green cloaks and red hats. They steered their horses a few feet forward, then stopped, a few more feet, then a pause again. These soldiers carried the Tibetan seals of state. Just to the rear of the soldiers carrying the seals of state were 10 simple monks, barefoot and dressed in yellow robes. The 10 monks were humming loudly. The Golden Buddha came next. It sat on a plain wagon, pulled by a single horse. Only a few feet behind the Golden Buddha was the throne chair containing the Dalai Lama. 200,000 Tibetans lined the procession route leading to Potala. They massed on both sides of the cleared path through the meadow. The day they had prayed and hoped for over these last decades was finally here, and they allowed their joy to wash across the land. As soon as the Golden Buddha appeared, the crowd went wild. A roar erupted, and the faithful prostrated themselves onto the hard soil and then began to chant as one. The Dalai Lama began passing through the crowd and witnessed the tears of joy on the cheeks of the faithful. The sight filled him with happiness, duty, and honor. and it caused him to smile. Following the throne chair were members of the Dalai Lama's inner cabinet, the Kasag. Next came the Kusun Dapan, the Dalai Lama's bodyguards, dressed in their black padded suits and carrying their curved swords. Following the bodyguards was the commander-in-chief of the Tibetan army, the Makchi, and a platoon of soldiers. The Makchi and the soldiers were dressed in their ceremonial uniforms, consisting of blue trousers and yellow tunics covered in gold braid. They marched in slow and perfect cadence, with their boots making a timed thumping sound as they struck the soil. Next were the Dalai Lama's religious tutors and teachers, as well as family and friends. At the rear of the procession came a wagon with a tiger in a cage, followed by a single horseman holding a 30-foot-tall staff flying the formerly outlawed Tibetan flag. The parade was both magisterial and magnificent. It was based on 2,000 years of tradition and strengthened by 55 years of exile. The procession continued toward Potala. At the base of the 80-foot-tall foundation wall of Potala, 400 laborers had worked 8 hours the night before to build a series of stone steps leading from the edge of the meadow to the top of the wall. As soon as the first of the procession reached the lowest step, they parted to each side, like the flow of water in a stream being split by a boulder, then took their positions alongside the temporary stairway. Once the golden Buddha reached the base of the steps, the 10 monks walked over, formed a ladder with their arms, then carried the Buddha up the steps and placed it on the top of the wall. Then they descended the stairway as the throne chair containing the Dalai Lama slowed and stopped at the base. On a signal from the Dalai Lama, the monks carrying the throne chair bowed down on their knees, then swiveled to the side. Holding the throne chair only inches above the ground, they waited until the Dalai Lama climbed off the chair onto the thick woven carpet that lay upon the ground. Breathing a sigh of relief as the weight was removed from the chair, the monks waited until the Dalai Lama started up the stairs. Then they set the throne chair upon the ground and rose to their feet. With a soul seeped in tradition and divinely inspired, the Dalai Lama ascended the stairway. Reaching the top, he slowly turned and stared out at the crowd. The mass of humanity stretched across the meadow and onto the surrounding hillsides. He bowed his head, then closed his eyes for a moment. Then he spoke. "I have missed you," he said simply. The crowd, so subdued only seconds before, once again erupted into cheers. 20 minutes would pass before it quieted down enough for the Dalai Lama to speak again.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Golden Buddha by Clive Cussler and Craig Durgo. Copyright 2003 by Sandecker, RLLP. Read by J. Charles. Performance copyright 2003 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved.